Well, with 2,000 years of church history behind us, we receive the news of the resurrection with great joy. But that first Easter day presented a big problem for Jesus. Nobody quite believed him. When Mary visited Jesus in the garden, she thought he was the gardener. When the disciples first heard the news from the women, none of them took it seriously. They called it nonsense. And in the encounter that same day, described in Luke, that we'll look at next week, Jesus meets two faithful followers as they're returning from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. And as they walk along, Jesus joins them. They don't recognize him either. They share the events of the last 3 days about Jesus of Nazareth and the crucifixion. And sadly, they conclude, "We had hoped," some of the saddest words, "we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So here we see Jesus' problem. They didn't get it. So let's read the text. This is John 20, just a few verses. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The word of the Lord. Now, I'm sure that you have noticed that the predominant feeling on that Easter day was not joy, but rather ignorance and doubting and sadness and confusion and fear. The first words out of Jesus' mouth almost every time he meets people is, "Fear not, peace be with you." He said it verse 19 and again in verse 21. Now, our text is the record of the initial meeting between Jesus and his disciples on that first Easter day. Now, you might remember there were three encounters that day. The first was with Mary in the garden. The second is with the disciples that we're looking at now. And the third was that with the two on the way to Emmaus. His disciples, like Mary and the two on the road, were confused and filled with sadness. Now, watch and see how Jesus overcomes the problems of the disciples' unbelief and maybe our questioning too sometimes. Their unbelief exists on three levels: emotional, physical, and intellectual. As already mentioned, emotionally, they are scared to death. John tells us the disciples are hiding behind locked doors for fear of the religious authorities. If they crucified our leader, in time, they'll be after us. And then, when you think about it, would you want to see a man whom you had denied and forsaken, remembering that it was your cowardly behavior that contributed to his suffering and death? I'm not so sure. Jesus is back. Is he mad? But of course, Jesus isn't angry. He doesn't appear angry. Jesus is forgiving. He's welcoming. Jesus puts their denial and their unbelief and their fears behind him and hopes that they'll do the same. Emotionally, they are fearful. He brings forgiveness and peace. Fear to forgiveness. Their emotional needs are calmed. And in verse 20, we read they are overjoyed and exuberant. Then there's the physical dimension. They think they're looking at a ghost. He demonstrates the opposite. Luke records Jesus' words, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and bone the way I do." You see, all the disciples needed was reassurance, tangible proof. Thomas wasn't alone. They all had doubts. Thomas would receive a private show a week later, and we'll look at that in a couple of weeks. Especially emotionally, they needed peace. Physically, they needed tangible proof. And Luke adds, he even ate some of their Easter dinner, fish. Thirdly, intellectually, they needed to hear the truth. Again, Luke tells us in chapter 24. So Jesus starts with Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and he tells them, it's all there in the scriptures. Friends, Christ will suffer and rise. Repentance will be preached in my name around the earth, to all the nations. I'm going to send you power. Wait for it. You will need it. They were ignorant of all these truths. They needed to be educated. So here in this text, we see our interplay between the disbelief of his disciples and Jesus' loving care for their disbelief. Jesus comes. He does not condemn them, but rather he ministers to them in their fears and doubts and questions. Because Jesus knew deep down that these disciples wanted to believe. We all want to believe. We all dream of a positive afterlife. No wonder that the churches are crowded on Easter Day. Everyone wants to believe this grandest story ever told. Now, Judas, of course, was another story. The disciples, even Peter, believing that Jesus could meet and handle their fears and disbelief and even denial. But on the other hand, Judas was convinced that his sin of betrayal was too great for any savior to forgive. So he did the only thing that made any sense to him. He ended it all. Judas couldn't imagine a love large enough and strong enough to deal with his sin. He was wrong, of course. And we should not make the same mistake. There is no sin he will not forgive as long as we confess and repent. Jesus had a problem on Easter Day to overcome the fear and disbelief of his disciples. He met this problem head on. He dealt with it emotionally, physically, intellectually, and then he promised his Holy Spirit in them so that they might accomplish their soon to be assigned task. And I'm convinced that he will do the same for each and every one of us. Otherwise, there's really no point of Easter. It was accomplished. The resurrection was accomplished for our sake. I mean, after all, we're just like those stressed out disciples. We have our emotional doubts and physical reservations and intellectual questions, which often plague our souls. Jesus showed his original disciples his new body, new and glorified. We cannot see that body, for he ascended to the Father. But scripture teaches that his church, his followers, when gathered, become his body in the world. Our corporate behavior becomes his behavior in the world. The church, Union Congregational Church, is the body of Christ. And it can confront emotional doubts and physical reservations and intellectual questions. We gather, even two or three of us gathered in his name, we become his body, reaching out to others in need. You see, no one comes to the church or a Bible study for their own needs alone. Your faithful presence and prayers are part of someone else's spiritual health and healing. Jesus becomes present among us for the sake of others. The Christian church says to the world, if you want to meet the living Jesus, come among us and bring your doubts and bring your reservations and bring your questions. What a privilege is ours, and what a responsibility. Let us continue to trust our Heavenly Father, expecting his forgiveness for our fears, expecting his proof for our doubts, and expecting and trusting his instruction for our questions and his power for the future. Let's pray together. Loving and ever-present God, you seek us up and down the roads of life, assuring us that we are beloved children. You chose to give us free will and release us to learn and grow. Yet you remain with us. Because of Easter, we now know that nothing can snatch us from your hand or remove us beyond the reach of your care. And so it is that we worship you, we adore you, and give thanks to you for this wondrous message of Easter resurrection. Lord Jesus, we hear the promise of everlasting life in your words, and we ask ourselves if we believe it. And our answer is, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. We sometimes wonder if there really is life after death for us, or is there only oblivion? But through the resurrection of Jesus, we are given answers and evidence. So we confess the weakness of our faith that wonders more than believes. Forgive us and reveal your truth afresh. Your patience is unfathomable. Your grace is abundant and everlasting. All who turn toward you and your light find themselves embraced in your loving arms. Loving Lord, we love you in return. Hear us through Jesus our Savior. Amen.